Hey.
So just kind of going off from what she was saying earlier, for the social networking thing, first of all, there's a Twitter feed going here, so you can use #Guadek or #, and it'll go through. I'm noticing it's looping, so don't let it do that. And more importantly, it's really important because I remember, I'm sure some of you saw this. There was an article, like a couple weeks ago, it hit /dot, so naturally it hit my inbox multiple times about this was going to be the last Guadek. Like, it was going to be the last one because it's like, all I remember is that it was, you know, just a pool of negativity followed by an absolutely wonderful comment section. But the thing is when you try to cite evidence that, you know, these kinds of events are irrelevant, when Rui invited me to do this, I looked up Guadek because I had no idea what it was, and there was like nothing on it. There was the old page from 2012, so I was kind of able to look at the schedule, but when I tried to look up Keynote to see what I should be doing, like nothing. There was like one, and I don't even think it was the whole thing. So by all means, say whatever you want on the thing, comment on this, do whatever. So yeah, just kind of emphasizing that. If you want these things to remain relevant, gotta put evidence that it exists, which is important. So on to what I was gonna be doing. I'm Ethan Lee. If you're wondering how on earth to pronounce that nickname in the middle, it is pronounced Flibbitijibibo, but you can just go with Flibbit. I prefer to be more informal in the first place. I gotta say, another thing on the whole Guadek thing, they gave me this badge, and I'm thrilled to see that they actually spelled it correctly. That never happens. Like, well, to be fair, when people give me tags or do this kind of thing, they just mash the keyword and think it's funny, which, it's still kind of funny, but. So, a lot of the work that I do as a game developer, I'm not really a designer at this point, or I'm not really doing art or audio. I'm all in tech, and I specifically port to Linux and Mac, which is I take the code that works on Windows or had some progress on a native Unix port, and then I'll hack at it, and then I will ship it either. The three stores I usually go on are the Humble Store, which I'm. Anybody familiar with Humble Bundle? All right. Okay, good. I would assume so, because Linux is still a pretty big audience for them, I think. And then usually on Steam, because Steam came out for Linux, that was great. And, what else was it? There's a third store I was involved, maybe I wrote it somewhere in here. But anyway, I'm gonna try and move on as fast as I can. So the first thing I wanna do, because as far as I know, this is getting recorded, and I know this is a point of contention, especially for something that's supposed to be official. Slides. If you want to download these slides, it's at that address. They're not really that important, as you're about to find out. So if you want that, it's just myalias.com and guadek.odp. But so there's this deal with, because I see this all the time at various conventions for Linux specifically, for things where free software and open source kind of have to contend with each other. So I want to just put my foot down on it now. I assume most of you use Linux, or should I say GNU Linux? Well, the thing is, there are perfectly good reasons for both. And the thing is, I know you've all seen this comment on Threads about ports, specifically for Linux ports. There's that one guy that says, for instance, oh, they have an Android version of this game. That means it'll be easy to port to Linux. It's the same thing. Kind of isn't. But the thing is, and so normally at other things, I will try to at least be solid on GNU Linux. But you all use desktop Linux. I'm pretty sure you all know what it is. So if I am not entirely accurate in these matters, just know that I know too. And you know, same thing with other terms like free software and open source and those types of things. So who is this guy that some of you may not have even heard of and has already in the first few minutes of his presentation begun speaking in such a condescending tone? So as I mentioned, I'm a Linux Mac porter. I wasn't always doing these kinds of things. Most of my career in the entertainment industry was in music and audio tech. mostly in production rather than, you know, OpenAL, for instance. And I did a little bit of programming before I was in college, but the one time I did try to take a course, it was 2006, and it was Visual Basic 6. Needless to say, I didn't really do any programming after that. That was a great first impression of that. But a few years into college, I don't know how it is elsewhere, but in the United States, when you go to college, you're not really doing anything. So a few years in, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm reinstalling Windows on this laptop. No, I'll just install Fedora. We'll see what happens. And it stuck. About 6 months later, I decided to go into actual game development. Instead of just waiting and hoping to get a AAA job, I decided to attempt to make games with a couple of my old friends in the modding community. That didn't really go anywhere, because none of us really had experience with entire engines, and we didn't have money for like something like Unity Pro or something like that. The only things that really came out of that were the first like actual open source project I did, which was Lightweight Jake 2, which was basically Jake 2, except it worked. On other platforms. And then there were some other projects that we did, but none of them really went through, or they were bad enough to where I didn't open source them. Well, I'll just go with that. As far as porting goes, the thing that you all brought me here to do, or at least Rudy brought me here to do, I've only been porting for about not even a year and a half. So not that much time. On the other hand, in that year and a half, I've ported all of these to Linux and Macs. Some of them, I think Super Hexagon and Proteus, they already had a Mac version, so I just had to jump in and build it for Linux. But yeah, all of these, and then the three in the bottom, Virus Name Tom, Blueberry Garden, and Fez, actually aren't out yet, but I can actually say that I'm working on them. And there's, of course, a lot more that I can't talk about because video games work like that. The recent ones I just did were Escape Goat and Soulcaster. It was on up on Indie Game Stand. They're like $5 each, I think. You can get them from magicaltimebeam.com. They're great. And a lot of these you probably noticed. You probably have them because you got them in a Humble Bundle. You may not have gotten it for that game, but you probably own most of these and don't know it, because that's how Steam and Humble backlogs seem to work. I brought these two up earlier, but most of the reason that I can do as much as I did, as I showed you in that last slide, pretty much because of these guys. Humble not only inspired me to actually get some port work in the first place, but they actually kind of got me to use Linux in the first place. So you can kind of thank them for that. And then Steam for Linux really accelerated people who didn't think they were going to get into a bundle, which is pretty typical, but hey, if we can make a Linux version, let's just find a guy who was willing to do it. Eversion was one of those cases. But you know, all that's commercial. But so you probably want, you know, actual free open source software in there somewhere. So I've done a lot of that. Actually, this year mostly was where I did a lot of new projects. And all of it was in C# because there's a market of ports that was largely unattended, which was Microsoft XNA. Some of you might have noticed that Microsoft kind of killed XNA out of nowhere, sort of. And people were, you know, panicking, especially the Xbox Live indie games community was kind of panicking, you know, what do we do? XNA's dead, we can't do anything with it. But there was a project called Monogame that actually re-implements it, and you can send it on multiple platforms and that sort of thing. And their XNA implementation is fantastic. They've actually done some pretty astounding things in getting XNA working everywhere. Problem is, their platform support was absolutely appalling, to the point where, like, I'll put it this way, you could not reliably set a window size twice in a row. You just, like, if you hit 640 by 480, it might work. And if you tried it again, even if it was the same resolution, it could still totally explode. It was awful. So after some various internet arguments and that sort of thing, as you find on mailing lists, I kind of said, screw it. I'm just going to rip out their platform code, or just rip out the old code, and I'm just going to do it with SDL2, which I actually ship pretty much every single game I've worked on uses SDL, if you're not aware of it, libsdl.org. If you're going to work in games and it's C, C++, or C#, you should use SDL, because it will do about 90% of the work that you would have to do, a lot of it would be writing to X, which, thank goodness for Wayland at this point. Hopefully, I know that's been a topic that's come up before this whole convention. Wayland seemed to be a very popular subject, so I'm glad to hear that. So in order to get SDL2 access, I had to make a C# wrapper. So SDL2 Sharp came to be, and that included OpenGL and OpenAL binding. So it's all just one library that has all these things. It loads OpenGL dynamically, so you don't have to worry about linking. And then one of my games, Capsized, and then a Virus Named Tom later on, they needed video playback because Microsoft gives you this ability to play Windows Media video on the Xbox things. You can render it as a texture. They didn't, obviously we don't have that, so I decided to take Theora Play, which lets you just really, really quickly load Theora files, and you can do whatever you want with the data. And then I made a C# wrapper for that, and then I poked it into a mono game with SDL2, and you could get OpenGL accelerated video, which is great, because as it turns out, decoding video at high resolutions is really, really slow. And then all of that ended up being, the end project was something I called Monogame SDL2, which basically instead of having, right now they have a Windows backend, a Mac backend, Linux backend, a Windows 8 backend, a Windows, I think the Windows Phone and Windows Phone 8 backend, all this stuff that nobody cares about. So I just made Monogame SDL2, which you, not only is it one project for Windows, Mac, and Linux, and anything that supports SDL2, you can compile the assemblies a single time and run those assemblies on Mac, Windows, Mac, and Linux without recompiling, and it will work, and it will be fully compliant. So for instance, when we do saves, on Mac it'll be application support, et cetera, et cetera. And on Linux it'll be the XDG spec, because that's what it should be. And it'll be all automated. And we're trying to pull that in now, because you'll notice, out of these, actually I can say, I started this project in April, and since I've shipped 5 games with it, and I'm shipping about 7 more by the end of the year. So it kind of works. So the Monogame team is now kind of looking into getting that merged, and they've been great about that. And we also have a little bit of work in Mono Kickstart, which is, the thing is, when you have like a C# game, and you have to distribute it, most people think you should install Mono on your own. That doesn't always work because, first of all, Mono is huge, and a lot of the hardcore Linux guys who have like Arch, extremely minimalized, and they don't want to install Mono. And plus, and I think it's like installing .NET every time. Those packages are massive, but most games don't use all that crap. So Edward Rudd, who actually did the port for Bastion, which is one of the original Mono game ports that actually ended up doing well. He made this Mono Kickstarter environment where the entirety of Mono can be contained in about like maybe 10 C# DLLs and 2 binary files. And it's like, I think 30 megs if you don't strip the binaries. It's a significant improvement, and it means you don't have to have people install these dependencies when they just want to run the game and be done with it. So I ended up adding Mac support to that and some other stuff, but who cares about Mac support at Guadec? So these are just my links. This was actually the last slide that I had, because I'm actually surprised it took as long as I did, because I actually don't really like using slides. I'd rather just kind of talk instead of having to kind of juggle between these two things and only, you know, say one thing in double the time because you're trying to work with this stuff. So, you know, those are my links up there, and you can follow me on Twitter and all these things. And all the projects that I mentioned earlier, they're on my GitHub account, along with some other stuff I did for other ports. So most of what I wanted to talk about for the rest of the time is really just general things that I come across. It's really the opening title, where it's, you know, a sweeping generalization of what game developers think of Linux. Because half the reason I get my ports is because game devs either don't know what to do with it, or they try and they hate it, or, well, sometimes it's because they can just afford it, but that's very rare in the independent scene. So a lot of what I'm going to be talking about now is really how I help other developers get over those hurdles and things that are a real pain, even for some like guys like us, that we kind of go, oh, you just have to, you know, do configure and make install and all that stuff, that other devs are like, can I just use a single installer, pretty please? Things like that. And I have to kind of speak for all of those developers that you saw in that slide of like 15 or something games, because well, I mean, I could kind of tell stories of what they think, but a lot of, I kind of have to look at what they say, because usually it's like on Twitter, like someone will be like, I cannot, this, they'll just, you know, spout off frustrations on Twitter, because that's basically what Twitter's for, and I'll kind of swoop in. That's usually how I get my contracts. I see someone get mad about Linux, and I go, I'll do it for you, and they, and if they're angry enough, they'll usually say, okay. So a lot of it, I'm trying to think, because I don't want to like start going on a horribly rambling mess, but because I'm trying to make it, I'm trying to stretch it, I don't want to stretch out, but one of the, I have to, let's think about development from perspective of someone who uses like Visual Studio the whole time, or uses code blocks the whole time, and they just kind of have everything trans, it's all opaque to them, where the only thing they know about compiling stuff, they don't like, the idea of a compiler is like a thing that yells at you when you forget a semicolon. Like, it's not a program you run, it's a little tab that says build. And stuff, we have stuff like MonoDevelop that sort of does that, but for a lot of, but that's like C#. A lot of games are still in, you know, in a proper native language. Not to say that C# is native, because technically Mono works. But, and we don't really have, we don't have a community that really sympathizes with that. Because we do, because the thing is, when we see someone say, this sucks, and I don't know what to do, the first thing we do is we troubleshoot it. It's always like, what are the C flags, or what are they, whenever someone has a problem, it's always, let's try to fix the problem bit by bit instead of, you know, why was this a problem and what can we do to not have that problem? For instance, the issue that I believe Terry was having some issues with Super Hexagon, where I don't, because he was using code blocks because he didn't want to deal with, I think he was developing on a Mac, so code blocks seemed to be the most sensible option. And when it came time to make the Linux build, he figured, just use the code blocks project. Problem is, how do you get code blocks? Most of us go, you idiot, just use apt-get or yum, if, you know, if you're on Fedora like I am. And, or as some people will go, apt, no, usually the first thing someone says is use apt, and then that instantly becomes a distro war or something ridiculous. And, you know, our lack of ability to focus on what the problem is instead of like these underlying things, like, you know, if your problem is that you're using Ubuntu, you know, sometimes that will make sense, and depending on how good Mer is when it comes out, that may actually make sense. But you want to be able to say you know, this is a problem. You can either say I know how to fix it and I can do it for you, and you know, and sometimes they say yes, a lot of times they say no, or even better, because they don't want to spend money, is say, you know, if you're, especially for you guys, because I assume most of you are developers of desktop software and things like that, so you should be able to say, what's the problem? Or just, like, if you see someone, a game developer that's prominent, complain about it. You write it down somewhere, and then you go, okay, if I were to make a tool for this person, that would make it better. Or if there's some component about, say, GNOME, for instance, that's supposed to do that, and they couldn't even figure out that it was there, how can we make it so that it's immediately apparent to them? Because with Microsoft, it's like, oh, use Visual Studio, because that's what everybody... It's like the only thing you can use, unless you use like MinGW or something ridiculous that nobody wants to use. And I've kind of been exploring that a little bit, where one of the projects that I've not really been developing, but I've been using a lot is Mojo setup, which is, well, a lot of people think when you make a game or make a piece of software, a commercial piece of software, you have to have an RPM, a deb, a tarball, or something, all this other stuff, when Mojo setup not only just packages it in a self-extracting zip, it also comes with a really nice interface too. So you can when someone installs a game, you just, you know, you set it to executable, you run it, and then it goes through the steps with you. And that's great for the user end, but one of the worst things about Mojo setup is that if you're not familiar with it, trying to make a Mojo setup package is insane. And I haven't spoken with Ryan about this yet, but I kind of want to. It's like, when I put it in the game developer's repository and I say, you know, use Mojo setup, you put this in the examples, then you run build, and hopefully it should work. And of course, no game developer is gonna be, if you're not familiar with Linux, it's when you have trouble installing Linux, they're never gonna be able to go to figure out, you know, how to make a Mojo setup package when there's all these steps that are completely unnecessary when you could just automate it. So I kind of want to be able to, for instance, make it so where when you're trying to make a package, you give it like a game name, a description, and then maybe the installer package name, and then just does the rest. Things like that are really, really important, and they should be things that I don't want to be like the Apple methodology where it's like, you know, even in anyone could use it, or you know, it's you don't want to be condescending because a lot of it is because even a developer who a lot of you as developers know, like even when you're struggling with something that's supposed to be incredibly basic, the last thing you want is for someone to be like, "Oh, are you having problems? Let's doll this up for you." Just you know, you want to when making tools for desktop, when you're making build environments or any sort of thing, you want to be able to say it's easy not because you suck, it's easy because that's what it's supposed to be. Because as desktop developers, it's like, okay, a desktop is kind of supposed to be easy to use. You're supposed to know how to launch an application. Like, it's a really basic thing. Sometimes it will require, like, whole rewrites. Like, I know GNOME 3 was probably, I don't know, because I was using GNOME 2 for a very short period of time, and then Fedora 15 came out, and that's when GNOME 3 happened, so I don't know how long or arduous that process was. I'm assuming it was agony, and it probably still is trying to recover. But you know, that probably was a lot of us. I mean, actually, that's a question I should ask. This is a serious question because I know it's been a problem, and I actually ask people on my way. So I'm actually very curious. And this is like, be honest. I know there are GNOME people in here, but you're just gonna have to be brave for a minute. How many of you actually use GNOME regularly? Hands. Oh, guess I was wrong. Because like, it was weird. Because like, I remember talking to people who were thinking about Glottic, and they were like, "No, I use KDE." I'm like, "What about you?" "No, I use like Awesome WM." To be fair, I mostly use Cinnamon these days, but I still use GNOME for testing. And I used to use GNOME but I'm hoping to go back at some point. But you know. but it was weird because and the other thing was when I was getting this talk together, I asked like Twitter and all these people like, "What do you like? I'm doing this thing. It's the GNOME conference. What do you want me to talk about? Like, because it's my bonus points if it's GNOME." And I got nothing. Nobody gave me a reply because, and I eventually asked some people like people I know, like there are people that are on your mentions list, like. They give off any old opinion. I'm like, "You really have no idea for a topic, like anything." And they're like, "Who cares about..." Their first statement is, "Who cares?" Because it's GNOME. And of course, that article comes up, the last Guadec. And it's weird. I'm very glad to see the numbers high. Not just because it's a GNOME conference and that would be a little bit weird, but it would be a horrible shame if something that was a leading standard was just suddenly, you know, wiped away. Especially when we have things like Unity and Mir and all these new desktops like Cinnamon, Mate, all these branches of GNOME everywhere, and when the last thing that we should be doing at this point, especially when all this cool stuff's happening, like Steam and Humble Bundle is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're fragmenting more than ever. It's insane. Anyone who works on one of those desktops, like if I ask someone who uses Cinnamon or Mate, the first thing they're going to say is, Gnome started it, or some inane thing like that. When, you can complain about little things all you want, but is horrible fragmentation a justification? Does little minor things justify making an entirely new desktop? Like at least Cinnamon in its original form was just extensions for GNOME 3. And it was pretty cool. It's kind of a shame that they had to branch off, and I think they're replacing every part, even the login screen they're replacing. So they're getting really, really serious. It's really disheartening when a community that loves doing wars about desktop and distros, and at a time when game developers, they get it. Linux is commercially viable to some degree, so maybe we should actually try installing Linux or working with Linux. And the first thing we do in the same time frame is fragment one desktop into five. It's
not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cause especially, there's all these factors. It's a perfect storm of just complete unhelpfulness. It's one of those things where even if one thing was improved to be better, maybe we could have seven desktop environments if we could just agree that maybe someone will like it even if you don't. Really basic things that we could be doing to improve. Just as users, because as developers, developers have the advantage of saying, especially in open source projects, it's if someone doesn't like this thing and you think you can fix it, then you should probably fix it for them. Bonus points for you. But a lot of Linux users don't have that ability, or they just don't care about, they don't want to put that much effort in. Even if you're a developer and technically are supposed to be the higher up, or the thing is, you are the higher up. So literally anyone, whether a developer or user, we just need to figure out how to have the slightest civilized conversation about these sorts of things with people who are just trying. It's one of those things where you're trying to like this thing. You are desperately trying, and everything is fighting against you. I didn't even ask this. Any gamers? Show of hands again. Oh, okay. Well, there's always that. This might be a universal story where you're trying to like a game, or you go to see some movie and you want to love it. You were rooting for this thing when you saw the trailer, and then you play it and you see it, and it sucks. And your brain is trying to go, well, no, this was okay. No, that's not important, and all this, but that other thing is dumber, so that makes this thing okay. All these things we could be that are just not, that are supposed to make us feel better, but first of all, they probably don't make you feel better, and they make everybody else feel terrible in those experiences. And for game developers in particular, when they're at the biggest boom in Linux gaming in a really, really long time, it's terribly inconvenient for them to have this at full force. It's awful. It's actually pretty terrible for porters as well, because when you see a thread for someone's game on the Steam community and says, we want a Linux version, if the community itself is not, if they make it out to be where, even if you ended up making it and they made some money, if the customers you're giving it to come off as idiots, so maybe in AAA where, customer support will just put you on hold so we don't have to deal with you and we'll take your money anyway, but independent devs, where it's me as the porter and the other guy who did the actual original game, if they don't want to do it just solely because the community itself sucks, where the 99% of what makes Linux great, as we say, is the community. And if the community looks like it sucks, then they probably don't even want to look at the rest. So it's really, really important that if we're going to, you know, put up community as this, as like the leading thing, it's kind of important that we make sure the community is actually good, because then because then we're just liars. That's not cool. what else? Because I'm trying to not dig into that too much, because I think you get it. It's like, don't be an idiot on the internet. Don't be like, and don't make one problem that somebody has into seven. Either you know the solution that is one solution, and it's great, or there's too many solutions, and you should say, there's a lot of things. Maybe someone who has time to help you, or you can be the guy that goes, you know, I can give you some help. Just email me, and I work with this thing that you're having trouble with. I can help you. That's my job, for instance. So enough about getting all up in arms about community. So I know a lot of you are devs, so I'm going to try and talk about a little bit of dev stuff too. So I assume a lot of you are desktop devs. I'm just going to assume that. So anybody here explicitly working on Wayland? Okay. That's kind of disappointing. sort of, I don't even know if it's off topic here. Anybody doing anything with MER? Okay.
Any other questions? Who
works on that? Well, yeah. It's weird because this seems to be that year where it's finally starting to. It's a shame that it really looks like MER was the kind of thing that kind of said, oh, maybe we should work on this new successor to X sort of thing, just in case MER sucks. I don't know if it does. I saw the announcement and how it was pretty much objectively wrong in a lot of ways, and then I didn't hear about it again. All I know is that it's shipping in Ubuntu 13.10. I have no idea what they're doing with it. But, yeah, well, the thing is it's all internally canonical, so I think you can look at what they're doing, but they aren't telling anybody. They aren't telling me. And that's the thing that I think, because here's the thing. I'm assuming Wayland is not going to ship in the distro for maybe like a year if you guys start crunching like crazy. Well, like, we ship as in, it's going to be in a major distro by default. Like, Ubuntu 13.10 is going to be shipping with Unity and MER by default. Maybe it'll backpedal on that, because apparently XMER's performance isn't great. That's like the one thing I've heard. But, you know, the fact is, when it comes to Wayland, which most of us are rooting for, especially, I suppose, all of you, because there's... 421?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for 20, probably something which you can opt into.
Okay, that's really good. Because, you know, in a race where the base feature is that, hey, it's not X, that pretty much means you win. And so at that point, the race is who can get it first. And it looks like... Here's the thing. I kind of sound like I'm kind of being a Wayland fanboy while I am a Fedora user myself. I really don't care which one works as long as it's good. Really. Sorry, give me a time code. The thing is, if Canonical's going to beat Wayland on time, you have to beat them some other way. If Wayland wants to be the standard, because everyone's mad about MER, so I'm saying if you want to have an advantage over them, and they have time, which is like 90% of it, I'm saying even if Wayland works to some degree, start making apps with it. And if there are libraries that have like an X backend, make a Wayland backend for it. Like SDL2 right now has a Wayland backend and it works great. Like if you use any of my ports that use SDL2, like all the MGSDL2 titles, if you just replace my libSDL with one that has the Wayland driver, it should work. And if there are any libraries like SFML or things that have those sorts of things, you should make a backend for it if you're working with Wayland. Because right now, there aren't really any apps for either. And when someone puts their foot down and says, our default manager is this, that will force them to have to use that that API. Like, nobody's really making any more stuff now, but when Ubuntu 13.10 comes out, when their phone stuff comes out, I don't know that much about the mobile space. Odds are that's when people are going to finally, you know, go, okay, I guess I have to now.
Xmir is just X.
Xmir, is it?
Yeah, it's just a system level compositor that X runs on top of.
Oh.
You can't actually write native mirror applications that will run against it.
What?
It's literally just X writing to a different backend.
Okay. that's actually irritating. But
it was very well publicized. Like, good marketing.
Yeah, top notch marketing, which is another thing Linux is fantastic at. So I mean, the thing is, especially someone who works at the high level and does not want to work with these ugly, ugly things, they want to use like their library that may have terrible Linux support. If you want to just make the Linux version good, and just have like a test game, like, again, if you want to work on like a Wayland driver with a CL, it works, maybe there's some bugs in it, have a look, and if there's something wrong with my game and it's just SDL2 Wayland thing, then fix it. And the more libraries that have that sort of support, be it Wayland, I'm saying like Wayland and Merlot, but when it comes to any desktop software, or any type of software that has like low-level stuff, and there's a library that a lot of people use, but it doesn't use your stuff. You should work on that library. It's a great test case, because one of the, like, you see like in like Linux news a lot, like, look at this amazing Wayland app, and it's like a 2D rendering of like a triangle, and it's, because it's like, that's like the best they could do, because like, they have to write the whole app themselves if they're trying to make an example, when there are probably a ton of examples you have, and if you just make your whatever software it is, use the popular library, and you can say, look, it's Fez running on Wayland. Like, people will pay attention to that. Like, when I didn't see any, like, Wayland news until someone got Doom 3 running on it. And that was really cool, and people obviously wrote about that. That's like, hey, we have actual games running on this thing, as opposed to, hey, we have a cute little triangle running on it, which is, you know, use someone else's branding to your advantage. So, you know, if there's a game developer that wants to use Linux and you're like, well, I have this cool thing, do you want me to get my stuff working with yours and you don't have to do anything? They'll probably say sure, because they'd like the extra attention. And for, you know, when all these competing libraries are going, because that was the other thing I saw. I saw the phrase, people are leaving GTK for Qt, or Qt. I don't know which one it is. But, you know, if that's true, then you got to find something that needs, an interface, or something that's open source and needs an interface, and make a GTK thing for it. Like, show how cool the new GTK is. You know, it's not good enough to just say we have a cool API. Well, who uses it? You don't want to say for anything. People, like, ask anyone who speaks publicly. It's like you don't want to be blabbering when you want to have a definitive answer. Like, what games use SDL2? Well, that was one of the things in the contention for Monogame. It was, you know, why would we use SDL2? We already have these three backends. Don't mind that they didn't work, but they said, what games use SDL2? And I can say, Team Fortress 2 uses it. The entirety of the Source Engine uses it. A bunch of my games use it. The Unreal Engine uses it now. Ryan's Unreal ports, they use SDL2. All of Edward's ports use it. We have actual evidence. And, you know, even if, like, that was enough for them to say, okay, we will actually include your version. So, yeah. The thing is, game developers, we think of it as game developers having to come to us, but I think it would be really great if, as developers who are, if we're so passionate about our software, we should be able to say, we have this really cool thing, and we'd like to, like, help you integrate it with your application. Because, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with a good metaphor for it, but I mean, I assume a lot of you there are some students in here that are going to be looking for jobs at some point. You can't expect someone to just call you and be like, hey, you want to work for us? How would they even get your number? You have to call them and be very communicative with the person who is higher up, like someone who's trying to hire you. And, you know, so the point of all this rambling is, as a user and as a developer, you have to be able to accommodate developers instead of developers coming in, having no idea what to do, and going, oh, we'll fix it and fix it and fix it, and they're just going to have to go through every single step and drudge through it, and they're going to hate it. So that, I think I have a few minutes left, so before I go on another horrible tangent, I know this is a keynote, but I would really love a couple questions, if anybody has them. Show of hands, maybe. Anybody, any questions at all? I know. Oh. Anything? Oh, there's one. If you have something. If you can yell at the spot, I can just repeat it. Wait.
Who has a question?
Oh, I thought someone had a question over there. Anybody? You could have had me on a tangent. Oh, there we go.
Thanks, Rich. Hey. Whoa.
Wow.
Other than graphics stuff and the Wayland backend and that kind of stuff, what sorts of infrastructural stuff from GNOME are games using or SDL?
The fact is, games don't really use anything specific. They really don't use much more than X, but that's mostly games. But here's an example where it might be really important, is where tools, like a lot of game editors, like level editors, like the Fez editor at this point, and a lot of SDKs, they all use like WinForms, or like they use system.windows.forms if it's C sharp. And you know, there's really no way to, I mean, the thing is you'd have to port it anyway, but like, you know, when it comes to user interfaces for editors where modders want to be able to participate, that's where stuff like GNOME, like GTK and all that stuff is going to come in really handy. So that won't be, I wouldn't say games would ever use stuff like that, but if you want to work with editors, like if you're a modder and wish you had more modding tools, you probably want to make those toolkits more appealing to them. Because I mean, GTK and all those work on Windows, but for some reason people don't use them. So you got to find, so if you're one of those devs that works on those sorts of things, you should try and find out why, because I actually don't know the answer to that, specifically. So, anything else?
A traditional problem when it comes to game development was audio and video synchronization, and mostly audio. And is that a solved problem these days? Can you actually do 5.1 audio from a game developer point of view?
Yeah, you should be able to. Like pretty much all my ports, it's SDL2 for everything except audio, and then OpenAL for audio. OpenAL is fine. And I've done it. There've been a few cases where I've had to like write directly to ALSA, which was fantastic. But yeah, like audio these days, like people think like you have to write directly to all this stuff when we have OpenAL if you want an open solution. FMOD occasionally has some problems with Linux, but the fact is they do a pretty good job of getting all that stuff done. So audio, you know, as much as we love putting up that giant graph of all these backends like interlinked with each other, it's largely solved because you just tell them use OpenAL, and then it doesn't matter because OpenAL works. So as long as we can agree to just say OpenAL, because there's really nothing else. There used to be, you used to have to write directly to all the stuff, but now we don't do that anymore. So, yeah. Good question. Yeah. I mean, if you have any questions that you don't want to say here, I'll be hanging out here or somewhere around here, so you can just talk to me or argue with me or say mean things to me. I don't know. So, yeah. Thank you all for showing up, and I hope Guadac is a blast. I'll be here for the core days if you just want to talk, because you know, I'm here for 4 days, and this is my keynote, so that's kind of it for me. So I'm willing to hang out with you guys, or see if any of you have presentations. Tell me, and I'll show up to them. So yeah, thanks a bunch.